Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the Old Testament lesson of the day found in Numbers chapter 11, verses 16, and then also verses 24 through 29. So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather 70 men from the elders of Israel for me, men whom you know to be elders and officers for the people. Take them to the tent of meeting and make them stand there with you." Moses went out and told the people the Lord's words. He gathered 70 men from the elders of the people and had them stand all around the tent. The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him. He took from the spirit that was on Moses and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied. But they did not do it again. Two men, however, remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. They were listed among the elders, but they had not gone out to the tent. The Spirit rested on them, and they prophesied back in the camp. A young man ran and reported this to Moses. He said, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide from his youth, answered, "My lord Moses, stop them." Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? If only all of the Lord's people were prophets, so that the Lord would put his spirit on them." This is our text. Dear people of God, we're going to spend the next month in this area of Numbers chapter 11. It is a fascinating section of Israel's history, wandering in the wilderness. Israel, led by Moses and the cloud of the Lord's presence, were now 2 years into their journey. It took them about a year to get from Egypt to Mount Sinai, and then they camped at the mount about a year. And now they were beginning what was supposed to be a couple months' journey up into the promised land. But of course they would not make it in a couple of months because of their rebellion. They really have 38 years yet before they get to Canaan. But they don't know that. So they leave the mountain in chapter 10 of the book of Numbers. And the first story in chapter 11 is about them rebelling against the Lord and the Lord sending fire down from heaven and burning up those on the outskirts of the camp who apparently were the troublemakers. And the thing you need to know for our whole month study coming up here is that what they complained about so much was the manna. They hated it. That miraculous honey-flavored bread that appeared in front of their tents every morning for free, they hated it. Now that's all they would get to eat for the next 38 years. And they hated it. They wanted meat. Then our text comes. When the Lord tells Moses to gather these 70 representatives of the people, take them inside of the tabernacle, which is very strange, where the Lord himself is going to talk to them to get them to settle down. Now, the number 70 is a problem. Remember, there are 13 tribes of Israel. They come from the 12 sons of Jacob. If you remember that Joseph was given two tribes for his sons Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, we don't count the tribe of Levi when it comes to negotiations like this, because both Moses and Aaron were from Levi, and so they're already well represented. So these 70 representatives of the people are representatives of the 12 tribes. The problem is, you can't divide 12 into 70 very easily. It comes out to something like 5.83 repeating. But you can divide 12 into 72. Very simply. If it was 72 representatives, then there would be 6 leaders from each tribe. But the Lord only asked for 70. See, the question we're trying to solve is, why did Medad and Eldad not come out to the tabernacle with the other representatives? Moses says here that they were listed among the elders, but they didn't go with them. Why not? Could be laziness. Maybe they just said, Moses wants us to go way over there to the tabernacle. I'm not doing that. I've got a goat's head soccer match to watch. Maybe it was rebellion. Maybe they just said, Moses wants what? I'm the leader of Zebulun. He comes to me. I don't go to him. Or maybe they just weren't invited. Maybe Eldad and Medad were the 71st and 72nd elder among Israel, and they didn't make the guest list. Moses records here that the whole 70 were in the tent. He says that the 70 received the Spirit. Now, a little bit about that. The Lord taking the Spirit that was on Moses and putting it on the 70 elders does not mean that Moses lost anything. When you think of the Spirit like this, think of a fire, like on Pentecost. If you light a fire using another fire, the original fire doesn't lose anything. The fire is fine. So also with the Spirit. If you put the Spirit on someone else, the Spirit doesn't get divided. He's perfectly fine. There's enough Spirit to go around. Prophesying that these elders did was probably speaking in tongues. They were not given new revelations from the Lord, but rather they were given a spiritual sign that the Spirit was on them in words. Speaking in tongues works really well for that purpose. Plus, they did not do it again. Tongue speaking is not something that you need again. It fits pretty good. But whatever the sign of the Spirit was, these two elders in the camp did the same thing that the 70 elders were doing in the tabernacle. They prophesied. And of course, there's a tattletale in every group. And so this guy comes running to Moses, telling him what's going on in the camp. And he seems to think it was an act of rebellion. And that's the same way that Joshua takes it also. Now, Joshua was that special aide to Moses. Joshua was in leadership training. Moses was 82 years old. They had no idea that it was going to take them 38 years yet to get to the promised land. Moses figured he needed a replacement. He needed to train someone to do what he was doing so that when he was gone, someone could take over. They didn't know it was 38 years before Joshua would take over with much fear and trembling. So at this time, Joshua is young. He's like 25. And Joshua lived. He actually slept in the tabernacle, which is very strange because no regular Israelite, and certainly no non-Levite could go into the tabernacle, and especially not an Ephraimite like Joshua was. But we need to remember that the regular rules did not apply to Moses and to Joshua. That's the Joshua who feared disrespect and rebellion against Moses and cries out to him, "My Lord Moses, stop them!" Moses, of course, sees the whole situation completely different. Moses does not say that Eldad and Medad were right. He just doesn't give an opinion. Did you know that's okay not to have an opinion about everything? Moses didn't care what they were doing. Who can you change? Moses had 2 million people to watch out for. He wasn't terribly interested in what two elders are doing out in the camp. You can't change the world. Sorry, TV, but you can't. And those people that you think have changed the world haven't at all. This world is still terribly sinful and getting more so all the time. All you can do is be faithful to the Word of God. I can't change what TV preachers preach. It's not my job. It's not in my power. All I can do is study and remain faithful to the Word. See, the Lord can work through false doctrine. He did all those years before Luther came on the scene. Do you think that all the people who lived and worshiped in the church before Luther rediscovered the pure gospel were all condemned? Of course not. The Lord takes care of His people. And He can work through falsehoods and show His people their dear Savior, Jesus Christ, in spite of what men do. See, the key to this whole thing is to simply release the Word. Let it out like the powerful lion that it is. The Word is fine. Moses didn't care what Eldad's and Medad's intentions were. The people saw God's Spirit, and that was enough. If those men were blessed by God's Spirit and became more popular than Moses and pushed Moses out of his position, which seems to be what Joshua is afraid of, who cares? Moses didn't seek his position in the first place. He didn't want the job. We are all just God's servants. So, God's will be done. Jesus says the same thing in our gospel reading today from Mark chapter 9. Do not try to stop him, because no one who does a miracle in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil about me. See, it's not our job to police other denominations. God can use them. You just make sure that you are pure and that you are adhering to the truth of God's word alone, lest we be fooled and be condemned. The Apostle Paul agrees. He says the same thing in his letter to the Philippian Christians. Paul really spells it out. He says this: some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, and others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition. But what does it matter? Only this, that in every way, whether for outward appearance or for the truth, Christ is being proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Paul didn't care. I can only do me. The Lord will judge everyone in the end. So don't waste your time on them. All you can do is to study and to pray and to tell others who need to hear yet about our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. Lifting up the cross. Take that Savior that you discover in the pure Word of God and give Him to as many people as possible. You won't run out. It's like with the Spirit on Moses. There's plenty of Jesus the Savior to go around. Begin with the members of your own household. Then speak with your friends. Then speak with your neighbors. Tell them how much Jesus has forgiven a sinner like you. And that He can also forgive and save them. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.